This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Senate confirmation hearings on President Bush's nominee to head the Environmental Protection Agency were scheduled to get underway today, but like most of Washington, Congress is largely shut down because of Hurricane Isabel. We'll bring you an update on the storm later in the program, but we want to focus on the EPA today and give you a preview now of the issues and politics around this nomination. The president's choice is the Republican governor of Utah, Mike Leavitt, who's usually identified as an environmental moderate. He even coined a New Age-sounding name for his approach, Enlibra, a contrived Latin phrase meaning to move towards balance. Leavitt's supporters, and there are many, praise him for a genuinely even-handed approach to both development and environmental protection. Many environmentalists, though, worry that he would be little more than a moderate facade for an administration that favors industry. We'll examine Governor Leavitt's 11-year environmental record in his home state, his attempts to apply the Enlibra philosophy in the real world, and the agency he's expected to inherit. If you have questions about his approach, whether it can work at the EPA, and how the agency is faring under President Bush, give us a phone call. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Or you can send us an email, totn@npr.org. And joining us now from Salt Lake City is NPR correspondent Howard Berkus, who's been our reporter in the Interior West for more than 20 years. And Howard, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for asking me, Neil.
Let's start with that concept, Enlibra. What does it exactly mean, and why did Governor Leavitt feel the need to come up with a new word here?
Well, let me start with the second part of that question, which will take us back to the first part of what Enlibra is all about. You know, Governor Leavitt has been in office for 11 years, and he spent a lot of that time embroiled in one, you know, environmental battle or another, often with the two extreme positions who've been tossing verbal and legal and legislative grenades at each other. And this has made resolution on many of those issues elusive. Now, Mike Leavitt has also been regulated by environmental enforcers. His family has a trout farm in Utah, which has been cited by state wildlife officials for an outbreak of whirling disease, something that can decimate fish populations. This happened before the governor became governor. So about halfway through his term, Mike Leavitt launched this bipartisan effort to chart out middle ground. It seeks collaboration instead of polarization, finding neighborhood solutions, as he calls them, to national standards, to seek market-based approaches instead of government mandates, and to consider both the costs and benefits of regulation. All that's been encapsulated in what is now known as Enlibra, which has been adopted not only by Mike Leavitt as a guiding principle, but also other Western governors and by the White House.
Janet Napolitano, who's the Democratic governor of Arizona and a guest on this program last week, was issued a statement in support of Governor Leavitt and his positions. But how has Enlibra worked out as a practical matter in the real world?
The governor's favorite example of Enlibra at work involves an effort to reduce haze over the Grand Canyon and other national parks in the West. And this process did involve industry, clean air activists, two dozen state and tribal governments, and federal regulators. And it has resulted in an enforceable plan to reduce haze that has been accepted by most of the people involved. But if you come back to Utah, the state's biggest and most influential environmental groups complain that they're left out of environmental policymaking. They're left out of discussions on specific issues. They characterize Enlibra as an excuse that gives industry and other interests more input in environmental debates and shuts them out.
And some of the examples they cite are, apparently they accuse the governor of mounting a purge of the state environmental officials who brought those regulations to bear on his family trout farm, his fish farm, when he became governor. And there's also an example of a road that he wanted to push through some apparently sensitive wetlands. What happened there?
Well, in terms of the wetlands, the governor continues to push what is known as the Legacy Highway. He has meant it as a legacy for future generations in Utah who can travel between Salt Lake City and the booming suburbs north of the city without gridlock. There's already a highway there. This would be a parallel highway. There isn't a whole lot of room for another road. This is a flat piece of land that's squeezed between the Wasatch Mountains and the Great Salt Lake. And so the highway that the governor proposes and seeks would cross some Great Salt Lake wetlands, which are wetlands used by millions and millions of shorebirds that fly in from all over the world and use this area to nest and feed. He was stopped by a lawsuit that was brought by the Environmental Protection Agency. It's not completely stopped. There's room there to try to come up with a plan that might protect the wetlands in some way. And in terms of what happened with the fish farm and the state employees, the fish farm, which Governor Leavitt did have an interest in before he was governor, he did sell that interest. After he became governor, whether it's some people say it's coincidence, others say it's retribution, the people who were involved in enforcing regulations against that fish farm, inciting the governor's family for violating state regulations, those people were removed from their offices and they were fired. There was a complete reorganization of that division, which was a wildlife protection division in the state.
Mm-hmm. So where does it seem, do you think, that Governor Leavitt has found middle ground?
Well, I think it depends on who's looking and how you define middle ground. Middle ground is something that can float around from time to time. To those people who want strict enforcement of environmental regulations, Governor Leavitt's definition of middle ground may be an unacceptable compromise. To those who think that the EPA has been too strict already, Governor Leavitt's middle ground may be just what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. What about the politics surrounding this nomination? Three Democratic senators have said that they would put what's called a hold on this nomination, and that means that until they're satisfied one way or another, the nomination can't go ahead.
That's right. Senators have the authority to do that. You have, first of all, Democrat Hillary Rodham Clinton of New York, Democratic presidential contenders Joseph Lieberman of Connecticut and then John Edwards of North Carolina. Now, Senator Clinton is upset about how the EPA handled air quality after September 11th in New York. There were some readings that the EPA took that showed that air quality was poor. But instead of warning citizens about the air quality, the EPA was prompted by the White House to change its report and report that it was safer than apparently it was. Senator Clinton wants the administration to address that before she'll approve or allow a vote on the nomination of Mike Leavitt.
So not really about Leavitt, but more about the administration before him.
No. And the other two senators, the same thing. It's not really about Leavitt. It's about other issues that they have with the Bush administration that they want the administration to address. This is one way they hope to force addressing of those issues.
Our phone number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is TOTN at NPR.org. And joining us on the line is Ralph, who's in San Francisco.
Good afternoon. I love your show.
Thank you.
How is this governor going to be different, head of the EPA, than the previous governor, Governor Whitman? She was forced to basically reverse her stance related to these coal-generated utility plants that were impacting her state and much of the much of the Northeast.
That was on the carbon dioxide emissions and Tokyo. Go ahead, Howard. Is he distinct from Christy Todd Whitman, the former governor of New Jersey?
I think one major difference between Christy Todd Whitman and Mike Leavitt is that Christy Todd Whitman went to EPA with a sense of what she wanted to do. She had an agenda. She had issues she wanted to address based on her experience in New Jersey. Mike Leavitt is more oriented to the process, at least from what we've heard from him so far. He's more interested in introducing this notion of in libra and using that as a template for problem solving, as opposed to coming in with specific plans for what to do about clean water and clean air. He's more about process than particular issues. At least that's the indication we've gotten so far, and that's why everyone who has an interest in this issue wants to hear from him at his confirmation hearing to see what he might say about specific issues.
And he does have a lot of supporters in Congress as well, including former governors who are now in the Senate.
He does. You know, Mike Leavitt was a leader among governors. He headed up the National Governors Association, the Western Governors Association, the Republican Governors Association, the Council of State Governments. He's well-liked by fellow governors, Democrat and Republican alike. He's been known for bringing Democrats and Republicans together on issues that they don't normally align on. And he is a good friend of the president's. So they sat together in the Western Governor, or in both the Western and National Governors Associations, sat together and worked together on many issues.
It should be pointed out that Christy Todd Whitman was a friend of the president's as well and is no longer the head of the EPA. Let's get a call in from Allison, who joins us from Oakland, California.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you. I just had a comment based on Leavitt. I'm not very confident in his future performance, in that this administration and the people that it continues to pick pit industry against the environment, and they're ignoring a huge segment and growing segment of industry, and that is environmentally sustainable business. In other words, you know, by continuing to support extractive industries, continuing to support pollutive industries, and trying to balance, quote-unquote, their interests against environmental interests, you're missing a huge opportunity in that you could have business, you could have profitable business that functions in an environmentally responsible way.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this administration, and I see Leavitt as not recognizing this and in their policy and in their decision making.
Howard, has that been Governor Leavitt's record in Utah?
His rhetoric is to incorporate that kind of thinking in environmental problem solving, in looking at businesses that can solve problems in a way that is both good for the economy and good for the environment. But there's one interesting issue that came up here recently that may be somewhat of an indicator. And it involved wilderness disputes in Utah, which go back 20 years or more. The governor had reached a deal with the Interior Department, which essentially released from temporary protection about 6 million acres of land in Utah that had been under consideration for wilderness protection. That really ticked off a major industry group in Utah and in this country, the outdoor industry business, a multi-billion-dollar business nationwide, and a business that brings two trade shows to Utah every year valued at $24 million. The governor did not recognize the value of this industry, which is a pro-wilderness, pro-environment industry, which has significant economic impact in Utah and nationwide. He did not calculate in this discussion that he was involved in the negotiations he was in, that there might be a significant economic impact that was contrary to Utah's interests. That industry group had threatened to move its trade shows out of Utah, which caused quite an uproar by businesses here who are dependent on that trade show, and perhaps forced the governor to look at wilderness in a way he hadn't looked at it before.
Mm-hmm. Allison, we just have a few seconds left, but does that answer some of your concerns?
Hey, well, I don't think it addresses the concerns in that, you know, his first response was that he didn't recognize that economic impact, that it took that industry basically planning a boycott. They're not acting proactively on these issues, and it's a huge disappointment.
Okay, Allison, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Howard Berkus, we hope that you can stay with us as well.
I'll stay with you, yes.
Okay,
thanks.
We're going to bring in some new guests to talk about Mike Leavitt's nomination to head the Environmental Protection Agency when we come back from a short break. And, of course, we'll take more of your calls. Our phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email is totn@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're discussing President Bush's nominee to head the EPA, Utah Governor Mike Leavitt. His confirmation hearings were supposed to begin in the Senate today. They're postponed due to Hurricane Isabel. And by the way, stay tuned. We'll bring you an update later in the program. But we're still here and talking about the environment. If you'd like to join our conversation, the phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and the email address is TOTN@npr.org. And joining us now is Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, a Democrat who represents the state of New York. And thanks for being with us on such a wet day.
Thank you very much, Neil. I'm glad to be with you.
We were speaking earlier with Howard Berkus about the blockages that three Democratic senators, among them yourself, have put forward. But rather than hear it in his words, what are your objections to the nomination at this point?
Well, I'm sure there are many questions that will be asked of Governor Leavitt about his record in Utah and about his positions on a lot of the important environmental issues facing our country. But the point that I am making is a larger one about this administration, the one that he wants to join. And that has to do with the EPA and the White House's actions and information following the 9/11 disaster and concerning the quality of air, both outdoor and indoor, that raise many serious concerns about people's health.
Your concern is that you were misled or that the people of New York were misled?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you, Neil.
Is your concern that whatever announcements were made by the EPA were misleading to the people of New York?
Yes. In fact, the Inspector General of the EPA has just issued a report about that, saying that the White House misled the public because it ordered changes in the report of information given to the public starting on September the 18th, 1 week after the attacks.
Do you think it was deliberately misleading, or was this simply a miscalculation?
The problem is, according to the Inspector General, that the White House Council of Environmental Quality ordered the EPA experts who had carefully stated what they knew and they didn't know to change that to include reassuring language that a lot of people took at face value. And I would like some answers, as I've asked in letters to the president and in a request for the committee to hold a hearing. And I'd also like some additional actions. I think that the EPA should conduct some random testing of workplaces and residences to determine whether or not there still remains contaminated air.
Obviously, all of that predates the nomination of Governor Leavitt. If your concerns on these issues are answered, would you be prepared at that point to be open to the possibility of his nomination?
Well, I'm not able to reach that hypothetical question because I certainly haven't gotten any satisfaction from the administration about my concerns on behalf of my constituents. You know, there are many other issues that concern New Yorkers, whether it's acid rain in the Adirondacks or the cleanup of the Hudson River. There are many matters that the EPA administrator will be focused on. But this one goes really to the heart of the trust and reliability we should have in the information that comes from our government about such an important matter as the air we breathe.
Senator Clinton, thanks very much for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Hillary Rodham Clinton, the junior senator from the state of New York. She sits on the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, and she joined us from New York today. Joining us now is another senator who sits on that same on the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. Senator George Voinovich is a Republican from Ohio. He first met Mike Leavitt when they were both active in the Governor's Association. And Senator Voinovich, thanks very much for being with us today.
Well, I'm very happy to be with you today, and I might say that I share some of the same concerns that Senator Clinton has in terms of the information that was made available. I think that as we look back on that situation, there were many people who really didn't know just exactly what people were exposed to at the time, because we had a first responder group there in New York who I kept hammering the EPA and Joe Albaugh, who ran FEMA, to get information to let us know what these people were exposed to. And Albaugh seemed to be very frustrated when he was before our committee, and that he didn't seem to he said, look, I can't get the information either. We're not sure of what it is. And I think that one of the things that we've done from a positive point of view, and Senator Clinton and I have joined on it, and that is that we're passing some legislation that basically says that the administration can immediately bring in the experts and the scientists that you need in the event of one of these types of events so that you get the best information for the people who have been exposed initially and then those that would be in the area and the aftermath. And, of course, also to be doing some research work so that we kind of anticipate, regardless of what kind of a problem that we have, that that our first responders have the equipment that they're going to need to protect them from anything that anyone can possibly imagine that could be in the environment.
The other two holds on this nomination that we know about are from Senators Lieberman and the Senator Edwards from North Carolina. Of course, they're both presidential hopefuls. But their concerns are broader than the situation you were just talking about in New York, broader environmental concerns. And on that score, I know that you're a big supporter of Mike Leavitt.
Well, let me say this to anyone that's willing to go over and take the job of the head of the Environmental Protection Agency has got to be congratulated, because I think it's the most difficult job that one could possibly have in the federal government in terms of the controversies that emanate from that place. No matter what that individual does, they're going to be under pressure from various special interest groups. And particularly, I think any Republican EPA director is going to be hammered constantly because of the fact that for the most part, their job will be to protect the environment, but also to try and present and be, as I say, throw the ball down the middle as much as they possibly can. And frankly, that's not what a lot of folks out there want the agency to do. And I think that that finally got under the skin of Christy Todd Whitman, also another good friend of mine, and I think she finally just had enough of it and left. So I think that I told Mike that I said, thank you for being willing to serve your country, because I think you're taking on probably one of the most controversial, tough jobs that, that one could have in the federal government. And I've known Mike. He came in as governor of Utah, and I think he was elected in 92. And he was my vice chairman when I was chairman of the Republican Governors Association, and then I worked with him in the National Governors Association. And it's kind of interesting that my vice chair when I was chairman of the National Governors was Tom Carper, and Mike Leavitt was Tom Carper's vice chairman. And I want to say that during that era, the governors of this country worked together on a bipartisan basis in a way that I've never seen before.
Tom Carper, of course, is a Democrat from Delaware.
Yes, exactly. And Roy Romer, by the way, was also the governor of Colorado at part of that time, and he was chairman of the Democratic Party. But I'll never forget many instances where Roy could have been political. He came together on behalf of the governors. It was a wonderful organization, and we all tried to work together. And Mike's in terms of character, hard work, bright, and a consensus builder. He's always interested in getting someone else's point of view. He took on a job that was very, very difficult, and that was the issue of the Winter Olympics out there in Utah, and that was, as you know, wasn't any piece of cake. There was a lot of controversy swirling around it, but somehow he continued to stay in there and work hard and get the job done. And then many of us were very concerned about the issue of internet taxation, that the federal government was going to prevent us from getting sales tax from the internet. And Mike took on the job of putting together a program that's been adopted now, I think, in about 30 states in conjunction with the people who sell over the internet, so that states will be able to collect sales tax from the internet. And he's just a consensus type of person who I think could bring a great deal leadership to the Environmental Protection Agency. In other words, he has demonstrated interpersonal skills and management experience to handle that job. And so often, I think people think of these being administrator or secretary of his department, kind of a public relations speaker and so forth. But those are fundamentally management jobs. And the problem that that Senator Clinton's concerned about, and I am also, has got a lot to do, I think, also with management and the people that you've got working in the agency. So I think that Mike's got this ability to get the job done. Whether he can get through the Maginot Line, I don't know whether it'll happen or not. Because listen, you got Edwards is running for president, and so is Joe Lieberman. And Joe and I tussled together last year over the Jeffords Lieberman bill that they wanted to pass through the Senate, which would have shut down manufacturing in Ohio and forced our utilities to not use coal and go to natural gas. So there's some very strong feelings there, and I'm not so sure that they're going to be willing to have anyone that says, look, I'm going to look at these issues objectively. I think they're going to want some advocates for certain points of view, and I think that happens. It's too bad, because no matter what reservations some people have, I think to have an agency that is headless for a long period of time does more harm than having somebody in there that may not particularly agree with you on everything, but has demonstrated integrity and a and other people.
Senator Voinovich, we're losing your line, but...
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I wanted to thank you for being with us today, and I certainly hope the weather's better out there in Ohio than it is here in Washington.
Well, the wind is starting to pick up here in Ohio, and I really hope that you folks don't go through what everyone says you're going to go through.
Okay. Thanks very much for being with us today.
You're more than welcome.
George Voinovich is a Republican senator from Ohio on the line back from his home there. Let's go quickly to NPR's Howard Berkus, who's still with us on the line from Utah. And Howard, briefly, why is it that Governor Leavitt decided to take this thankless job that Senator Voinovich was describing?
He was strong-armed by the president. He initially turned the job offer down. He had a pledge to stay in the state and finish out his third term. He had a relatively good chance of getting a fourth term in office, which would be unprecedented in this state. And the president called him up and said, I want you to do this. I need you to do this. I need somebody in that position. I think the president is looking toward his reelection, and having somebody with a reputation as a moderate is something that would help Republicans on environmental issues.
Siegel? Thanks very much. NPR's Howard Berkus on the line with us from Salt Lake City in Utah. Howard, we appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Neil.
We're talking about the EPA and President Bush's nominee to head that agency. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And joining us now are two people who braved Hurricane Isabel, at least the outer bands, as we're learning to call them, to be with us here in our studio today. They've also been following the nomination of Utah Governor Mike Leavitt to the EPA. First is Paul Portney. He is president of the Resources for the Future, a nonpartisan environmental public policy organization. Good to have you with us back in Studio 3A.
Thanks for having me.
And also Scott Siegel, who's a lawyer and lobbyist who works for energy companies. Thanks very much for you coming in.
Thank you.
And Paul, let's start with you. Your organization specifically works on issues related to energy, the environment, and natural resources. What's your take on Mike Leavitt?
Well, I think Mike Leavitt is a good guy who, as Senator Voinovich indicated, is stepping into a very, very tough position. And I think one of the things that listeners have to keep in mind in thinking about this issue is that, to some extent, the identity of the EPA administrator is not so important as the views of the White House on environmental policy issues, because this is an administration that I think has driven policy very much from the White House. That's not unique to this administration. It happened in the Clinton administration and in other political administrations. So to some extent, the notion that whoever the EPA administrator is important because that person and that person alone drives environmental policy, I think is very misleading. This is someone who will be a spokesperson for the administration on environmental issues, but I think an awful lot of the policy development really originates inside the White House.
Scott Siegel, you lobby on behalf of energy companies in favor of a regulatory reform. Are you a fan of Mike Leavitt?
Well, I am a fan of Mike Leavitt. I think that he is an articulate spokesman for his point of view, and he's certainly done a lot of thinking about environmental policy. His and Lieber principles, which were adopted by the Western Governors Association, are an indication of a cooperative approach to bring all sides together, both public interest and business, Indian tribes, states, and the federal government, all together. And the fruits of that labor are indicative in the approach that was taken to controlling regional haze that has benefited so significantly the Grand Canyon National Park. And all of these are things I think he feels very deeply about, and he brings a calm and measured hand. One thing I would observe is that both Governor Whitman before him and now Governor Leavitt are both cabinet-level caliber individuals. They are individuals that could be a vice president. They're individuals that could be president of the United States. They're people of national significance. And I think that's a tangible manifestation of the administration's commitment on environmental policy issues. If you look at past administrations, we did not have people of that type of national stature running the EPA.
Let's get a phone call in, and Thomas is on the line with us from Millstone, New Jersey.
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay.
My comment is that I really don't think the Bush administration really supports the EPA or the environment. I mean, he goes around the country dressing up and going in as a logger or in the wilderness and says one thing and yet does the other. Do you really honestly think that this is going to change if Governor Leavitt gets in versus with Governor Whitman?
Well, that was just about your point, Paul Portney.
I think it is. As I say, I don't think it makes a big difference who the EPA administrator is because of the direction and policy. On the other hand, I think my colleague makes a good point here that Mike Leavitt is a man of substance. Howard Berkus observed in response to your question, why would he do something like this? And one plausible answer to that question is that he may be looking to 2008. If President Bush is reelected in 2004, the field will be wide open for Republican candidates, and this is someone who has been a governor and reelected there. He may want some national Washington experience and may see himself as a potential presidential candidate.
Scott Siegel, is his experience going to be similar to Christy Todd Whitman's?
Well, part of the problem this administration faces is not in the content of their environmental policy, but is in the perception of the environmental policy. Unfortunately, environmental hits are a very easy hit for some folks in the news media, and certainly for opponents in the opposite party to move forward with. In fact, environmental protection issues are about the only area of agreement among the 9, now possibly 10, Democratic nominees.
10 for sure.
All right. So the point is, someone with credibility and confidence and, in this case, excellent communication skills, I think everyone agrees Leavitt's got it, is needed to explain the nuances of the Bush environmental policy, which I would say not only are not bad, but have encouraged environmental energy efficiency and reductions in emissions.
We're going to continue our discussion about President Bush's nomination of Utah Governor Mike Leavitt to head the EPA after a short break. We'll also bring you an update on Hurricane Isabel from NPR's Adam Hochberg. I'm in Washington. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about the Environmental Protection Agency and the nomination of Utah Governor Mike Leavitt to head that agency. His confirmation talks had been expected to get underway today. Well, not quite sure whether we're being lashed or battered yet, but it's pretty wet and windy in Washington, D.C., and those hearings, like many other events in the nation's capital, have been canceled today. But with us here in Studio 3A, braving the weather, Paul Portney, who's president of the Resources for the Future, and Scott Siegel, who's a lawyer and lobbyist who works for energy companies. If you'd like to join our conversation, it's 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is TOTN at NPR.org. And let's go right to a caller. Reed joins us on the line from Provo, Utah.
Yeah, I'm a student in Provo, Utah. I'm actually from Colorado, and I've lived here in Utah for the last couple of years. I haven't gotten too much into Utah politics, but I've been impressed by Governor Leavitt and the way he handled different issues environmentally, especially the way he handled the Olympics. My question is this. The two guests asked or said that the Christine Whitman and Governor Leavitt are kind of on the same level as far as national prominence and national leadership. Is there any major difference between the two that you guys can see, or is there a difference between Governor Leavitt being from the West and Christine Whitman, she being from the East, New Jersey? Does that cause a difference between the ways the two would administer in the EPA?
Well, Scott Siegel, there do sometimes seem to be different regional approaches to environmental issues.
Sure. We often say that environmental policy can be not so neatly divided into two categories, emissions control on the one hand versus natural resource protection on the other. I think that Western governors tend to have a little bit more of a familiarity with both emissions control and natural resource protection, a little bit less so to the East. But you can overplay that. In the case of Governor Whitman, she was an outdoorswoman in her own right and did have a lot of strong feeling on coastal zone management and other resource-related issues. But I think all in all, Governor Leavitt has had to face very significant large-scale resource issues. He's felt the lash of it, and he's had some successes at it. That's probably a little extra nuance that a New Jersey governor wouldn't have.
Paul Portney?
Well, I, to pick up on something Scott said, I actually think it's always useful to have governors as cabinet members and especially as EPA administrators because they have both presided over regulatory apparatuses in their own state, but they have also been on the receiving end of regulation because federal regulations affect not only corporations but state and local governments. And I think that it makes a potential EPA administrator a little bit more sensitive to what it's like to be on the receiving end when you've had gubernatorial experience in that spot. And I absolutely agree with Scott that all of the discussion that you had with Howard earlier about public land issues, roadless areas, that kind of thing, in a sense, that's not really germane to EPA-type issues. Those are Interior Department.
Yeah.
Right, and this is going to be air and water pollution control, pesticide regulation, solid and hazardous waste, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Reed, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. It's another caller from Utah. This is Alan, who's with us on the line from Salt Lake City.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Throughout the conversation today, it was brought up that Governor Leavitt is interested in process and consensus building, and several of your speakers mentioned his Libra principles. In theory, what he's proposing is reasonable, but living in Utah, I've yet to see him put this into practice. And what I'm saying by that is in many of his agreements, and probably the two best ones to point out are his recent agreements with the Department of Interior, he completely shut out the green groups. And so what I kind of look at is, well, he preaches a very nice thought, but when it comes down to brass tacks and really implementing it, he doesn't do it.
Well,
he just doesn't fall through on it, and I don't think that's a reasonable approach.
Paul Portney is in Libra, at least as Governor Leavitt has handled it in Utah. Is that rhetoric or is that practice?
Well, I've been stuck here in Washington, and I don't have the benefit of Utah experience, but I think as Howard reported, and as I've read and understand, the negotiated agreement about air quality in the Grand Canyon did bring in people from the environmental advocacy community as well as affected local business interests. So in that particular case, at least, it seemed to be putting his money where his mouth is on this.
Okay.
But that was actually one instance where we're talking about our national park, and the Grand Canyon is certainly one of our crown jewels. And you really do have to bring in everybody on that type of an issue. I mean, you're going to get cooked otherwise. But on other issues in Utah, he hasn't. It has, as Neil says, it's really been rhetoric.
Scott?
Well, I guess I'd make two observations on that front. First, it is exceedingly difficult to incorporate some aspects of the environmentalist community to the level that they would feel a great satisfaction with the result. That's just a fact. It's probably true of other interest groups as well. I don't mean to single them out, but it is difficult to achieve satisfaction. In fact, we always kid about the EPA sometimes that if everyone hates the result of the rulemaking, then you probably have a good result.
Alan, thanks very much.
Thank you.
All right. Let's try one more from Utah. Nancy's with us from Salt Lake City.
Hello, Neil.
Hi.
My comments will follow the previous callers. I agree that Governor Leavitt is a smooth talker. I disagree with the fact that he has integrity, and he'll talk a smooth talk after the outdoor retailers agreement that he made with the board of directors in August. He completely reneged on his promise to them. And also, in the Salt Lake Tribune editorial page yesterday, Howard Berkus would know this, that there was an outlining of who contributed to his campaigns over the years, and they are our worst polluters: EnviroCare, PacifiCorp, Kennecott, Huntsman, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Are going into Governor Leavitt's pocket from these polluting industries. And the air in Salt Lake City is some of the worst in the winter, when we get our inversion, some of the worst in the country. If he's been governor for 11 years, apparently he could clean up his own backyard before trying to go with his smooth talk to the national level.
And when you mentioned outdoor retailers, is that billboards?
No, the outdoor retailers group is the group that Howard told you about.
Uh-huh, of course, yes.
Aid show.
Yes, okay.
That comes here twice a year.
Get a response from Scott Siegel?
Well, it's very easy to look at a contributors list and say, well, these folks are polluters. I don't believe if you look in the business plans of the particular organizations, they would term themselves as polluters. Huntsman, for example, is a large chemical corporation out in Salt Lake City. They also are the ones that set up the Huntsman Cancer Institute, and they produce clean fuel additives that have actually improved air quality in places like Salt Lake City and elsewhere. And you can go on down the list. I mean, no company puts itself forward in that fashion. And I think it's unfair to impugn Mike Leavitt's integrity on that score. Fred Krupp, who is the very well thought of founder of the environment or head of the Environmental Defense Fund, now called Environmental Defense, once remarked that Leavitt has a very good record when it came to that type of consensus building that resulted in serial improvements in air quality. So I think he's got a good record to be proud of on the environment, and I think that the charge that polluters support is way too simplistic.
Okay. Just a brief time left with you, but I wanted to get a response to both of you from the question, do you think he will be confirmed as the nominee, and will he make a difference? Paul Portney.
I would imagine that he will be confirmed. I think the holds on the nomination are politically motivated and have much more to do with Senators Clinton, Lieberman, and Edwards' concerns about the direction of environmental policy and the Bush administration in general than with any concern about what Mike Leavitt would do. I think Leavitt will make as much difference as any EPA administrator can make in a Republican administration during a particularly political period, and that's probably not an awfully big difference.
Okay, Scott Siegel?
I think I agree with most of what Paul just said. First, I think he will be confirmed. I don't think any of these holds are the type of holds that we would expect to last for a long time. For example, Senator Edwards' hold is predicated on the News Source Review program. It's a question he has now asked and has been answered to him personally four times. I just don't think it's really a serious hold. And you can go on down the list. I think Senator Clinton has a point, but it's a parochial point, and she'll get her answer. She's a very intensive United States senator, and she'll get what she's looking for on that score. In terms of him making a difference, he has excellent management skills. The agency has 19,000 employees. They have the longest term of service of any other civilian organization. A lot of PhDs, big challenge in that regard. I think Mike Leavitt's gubernatorial experience will be really helpful.
Well, thanks to you both very much. That was Scott Siegel, a lawyer and lobbyist who works for the energy companies, works for energy companies. And Paul Portney was also with us. He's the president of Resources for the Future. They were both here in Studio 3A and are going to get damp on their way back to work. Thanks very much to you both. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.